Hey, how's the sound? Do you have online sound? Hey, welcome everyone. I'm Gram, and we make the first WebAssembly powered game console in the world. But no spoilers, you will see it, and we go a bit through history of the game console. And fun fact, it started on the previous first gem. So it started here, and now it comes here, and maybe it will inspire some of you to make your new projects with WebAssembly, and, well, we will get to it. But let's start. Do we have mic for people that I can use, that I can give audience? Okay, we will make it easier. So who knows what WebAssembly is? A trick question, right, in WebAssembly dev room. Who can say it in the mic? Okay, let's... Frank, give it a try.
It's like a JVM for the web browser, but not only the web browser, it could also run without a browser.
That's perfect. That's a very smart answer, because some people say that the worst thing about WebAssembly is the name. It's not assembly, and it's not only for web. And when I started to go into WebAssembly, all I knew, it's just web without JavaScript. That's it. But it was enough to get me hooked. Because you can take normal human programming language, compile it into binary executable, and now you have front-end without touching JavaScript. It's wonderful. But indeed, WebAssembly is much, much... Oh, I have a clicker. WebAssembly is much, much more than just that. It supports lots of programming... It has lots of features that make it applicable everywhere. It supports lots of programming languages. C, C++, Zig, Rust, Go. And the best one of them is actually C, because there are lots of interpreters in C. We have Python running in browser. We have Lua. We have operating systems. Windows 95 running in browser. We have Doom running in browser. It's amazing technology. It's universal glue that allows you to take any application and bring it anywhere. It's very, very fast. It's slower than if you would write native application in C and optimize all this. You probably cannot do good drivers in WebAssembly. But it's designed in a way to be very close to how actual processors work. It has amazing observability features. It's a virtual machine, and you know how many instructions are executed, which functions are called at any point. And you can limit, you can prevent applications going into an infinite loop. You can see what they are doing right now, how they are doing it. And this observability, it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. And I will show you examples how we use it. It has amazing security features and isolations. Isolation, you cannot... Everything that a WebAssembly application does, your environment controls it. You know which files it accesses, which functions. It cannot just get random value from anywhere. It's full control from you as environment writer. And there are lots of projects bringing it outside of just web. So the biggest initiative is WASI, WebAssembly System Interface. It describes names and signatures of functions. So how WebAssembly application works. If it needs access something from the environment, it declares list of imports. And these imports, these are names of functions it can call, and their signatures. And WASI describes the set of these functions that application can call, and environment needs to provide for application, to make fully compatible POSIX applications. So what does it mean? You can access, using WASI, you can access environment variables, files in file system, random values, and so on and so forth. Networking. And of course, again, the same applies here. The environment can provide fake values. If we have an application in WebAssembly and we want to test it, and it uses, for instance, time, we can provide it fake time. We can improve it in any point in time. And there are so many applications for it beyond that I can just make examples out of my head. We will find more and more as we explore this amazing technology. And in the previous FastDM, Ron, here is Ron. Say hi to Ron.
Hi, everyone.
Ron is one of the main contributors in TinyGoTeam. And TinyGo is compiler for Go for small places. So Go is pretty small language. You can read the whole specification for the language in an evening or two. And they wrote alternative compiler for Go, which allows you to write Go application and compile it into very, very small places. You will see some examples from Ron, I'm pretty sure about it, but there are applications, Go applications written with compiled with TinyGo running in keyboards, in drones. You can buy from them if you go to their stand in AW building, you can buy from Ike, the creator of TinyGo, earrings of this size that run Go on it. And last Fosdiem we asked, okay, what if we take pure Go WASM interpreter, compile it with TinyGo, and run it on embedded systems? And what we ended up with, oh, it's wrong direction. So we got Vazira, which is pure Go interpreter for WASM. I think there were already a few talks about it earlier. And we made Mechanoid, which is this framework for writing applications in Go, host applications in Go, so that you can utilize full power of web assembly. What I mean, you can make, for instance, home automation system, write it in Go, compile it with TinyGo, run it on Raspberry Pi or even something smaller like ESP32, and let people write extensions for it in any programming language using the power of WebAssembly. And Ron will show you. So in the previous conference, he was running a drone, the first drone in the world controlled by WebAssembly. And you will see more drones. I'm not that brave as Ron to get moving objects, but all his presentations include moving objects. And what we ended up with is this thing. This is the smallest game console in the world. You can see it on the screen next to €2. And here there is a call saying hello. It doesn't look like much, but it runs WebAssembly. And this is what we did. And the next thing, and this was big moment of realization for me, that if we can run WebAssembly in the smallest game console in the world, we can run it anywhere. And the next thing, so I wanted to do something interesting. There is a framework called WASM4. It is fantasy game console. Who knows what fantasy game console is? A few people. So it started with a project called Pika8. A guy made this fantasy game console. What does it mean? Fantasy means that the game console never existed. There is just emulator for your computer for it. But it's kind of framework for making games, but it has limitations, specifically imposed limitations, to make games feel retro. So you have only a bit of RAM, you have only a bit of colors, you have specific smoke screen resolution, something like Game Boy Advance, and it's very pixely. And it caught attention of many people, many game developers. People started to make lots of fun games for it. And WASM4 is the same thing, but you can write games for it, again, in any programming language supporting WebAssembly, and they compile it into WebAssembly. So they provide their own host functions for drawing triangle, square, sprite, playing sound, you know. And it runs in browser. So this is browser environment. And what I decided to do, I decided to take Rust. So I switched from Go to Rust because I wanted, there is amazing WebAssembly interpreter, I will show it to you, for Rust, and because I wanted to save every byte of performance for the actual game. And what I ended up with, and I got WASMI. WASMI is WebAssembly interpreter for Rust designed for constrained environments. It is designed to run on something very, very small. And what we ended up with is this. This is PyBadge. PyBadge from Adafruits, it has something like 180 kilobytes of RAM. Again, it's very small. And it runs I ran out of juice, but we have a photo. It always happens with live demos, so always have backup. This is game written for web, for WASM 4. It was never designed to run here, but since this is web assembly, and since I control the whole environment, I can run it here. And it runs just perfectly. And the next thing I say, okay, what if we take our own hardware? What if we make hardware designed for running WebAssembly? What if I not try to copy, like WASM 4 tries to mimic the API of actual game consoles of old era, like Game Boy Advance. There is lots of direct memory manipulation stuff. What if I understand how WASM 4 works, how WASM WebAssembly works, make it native to WebAssembly, make API designed to make WebAssembly games. So for the chip, for the hardware, we took this beautiful thing, ESP32S3. And the cool thing about it, it's very small. It's actually dev board. The actual thing is this small chip, and it's very, very small, like my thumbnail. And it's very cheap. You can buy one for €4. And it has Wi-Fi on board. And we will get to that. And we took it as hardware. Then we will skip it. There is good ecosystem, pretty good ecosystem for writing applications in Rust for ESP. And we made Firefly Zero. I will show you a photo. So we have two prototypes. We have stand here in the same building. Find us, we are just around the corner, right? On the first floor. And we made two prototypes here. And you see, why are these people having so much fun? Because it has multiplayer. And everything is fun when you do it together. And this is why we took ESP, because ESP32 has Wi-Fi on board. And we just finished writing these physical prototypes. We only have two, and they are at the stand. This is why I'm just hand-waving here. So please come down to us and give it a try. And I will show you how beautiful and how easy it is to make multiplayer games for Firefly. And it's actual thing. It actually happened. We have it. It works. And we will be launching Kickstarter this year. We will be mass producing them. And of course, since I'm at FOSDiEM, it's open source. Everything is open source. Software, hardware, case, developer tools, SDKs, everything. You can make your own Firefly. Or you can fork it and make something fun with it. We don't mind. And this is how it looks naked, without case. And the cool thing, so let me show you. So we have, first of all, we have emulator. You can already run, and again, the power of WebAssembly. How this emulator is possible? We don't emulate ESP32 here. But since it's the same interpreter for WebAssembly here and on the device, how your application works here, it will exactly the same way it will work on the device. It's beautiful. And we have lots of games, as you can see. So this is Snake. It's written in Go, 300 lines of Go. Again, it's very easy to write games for it. And let me launch two copies of it. And I will show you something. So how to start multiplayer? And again, the same on the actual device. You press start multiplayer, they discover each other, you confirm. And now we have two snakes. And we have 4, 8, as many as performance will be enough. And see, I move one here, and it moves on the other screen as well. Beautiful. How it works? Since, again, it's WebAssembly, we control inputs. When application asks for random values, we give it to it. When it asks for buttons, we give it to it. If we take two devices and run on them exactly the same application in exactly the same initial state, and then in both of them we give the same inputs, So when they ask for a random input, we synchronize it, and we give it to both applications. When they ask for input, we say, this is input from device one, this is input for device two, on both of them. They transition in the same state. And this is how multiplayer works. And this is how it's the easiest game console in the world for writing multiplayer. For your application, just as it looks like several inputs. You don't care about latency. You don't care about synchronizing state about devices. You don't care about any of that stuff. We take care of that on the environment level. For you, just read a few buttons. And synchronizing it, it's very fast. Sending through the wire, through the air, we have wireless multiplayer. Inputs, it's like 16 bytes of data, nothing. And this is an example of the code for multiplayer. When I wanted to make this snake game multiplayer from single player, I changed 4 lines of code. I said, hey, here, I made loop, and now I just draw 4 snakes in a loop. That's it. And let me show you how you can make your own application. It's very, very simple. So we have tool called Firefly CLI. And it takes care, it is open source, and it takes care of all your needs for writing your own application, installing applications. You can install, export, import, build applications. And there is comment called new. Let's close this emulator. Firefly, new, you say language which you want to use. We already support Rust, Go, C, C++. We'll support more. Zig, Python, Lua, JavaScript. For all of that, we have prototypes. We know that it will work. And you specify the name. It says project created. We go here. We say Firefly CLI build. I will make a new file system so that we have clean start. And now we do Firefly emulator. We specify path to this file system that I just created. And we have it. This is your first application. It just draws triangle. I'll show you the source code. This is the source code. You have several callbacks. In boot, you initialize your application. In update, you update the state. In render, you draw stuff. So I clear screen with white color, and I draw a triangle. And that's it. And that's how you make your own application. Few seconds, and you already have your first app. And of course, you can build on top of that. You will build on top of that. You will need to build on top of that. But again, 300 lines of code, and you have multiplayer snake. We have in works testing framework for Python. Again, since everything is open source and since it's Rust, we can embed it into Python applications. And from Python, you can say, this is my application, start it, run one update cycle, get a segment of the screen, and check that this segment matches this pattern. That's it. And this is, yeah, I just showed it to you, right? There are some challenges. I will briefly go through that. So it's hard in WebAssembly to work with complex types. There is just int 32, int 64, floats, 32, float 64, that's it. Okay, where are the strings? Where are bytes? Where are lists? Where are structs? Well, you need to define how you pass it around. And we don't pass much of that around. So first of all, what we did? First of all, we designed API in a way that you don't need to pass structs around. So we think in advance. For instance, there is no function to read configuration file all at once from the runtime. But you can read name of application, and it will just be binary string in there. There is no observability in allocator, because allocator is it's part of the guest environment, just some code that runs here in WebAssembly. We don't know how it works. We only know how many pages of memory it allocated. And again, I want to have good observability. Let me actually show it to you. So we have here application running. And what I can do is I can say Firefly CLI Firefly CLI, monitor. I promised to show you observability. And from the running emulator, it collects information about the number of instructions executed per second in each callback that we ever call, amount of memory allocated, amount of, if the game lags behind, how much CPU, how many resources it has. It's the beauty of WebAssembly. But looking into memory is hard. It's hard to run interpreted languages. So what happens is we have this environment in Rust. It runs WebAssembly interpreter. Inside of it, we run compiled WebAssembly interpreter for Python. And in it runs the actual Python application. It's lots of layers, lots of glue. Again, it's supposed to work. And hopefully it will work. We have prototypes for it. But it can get pretty messy, so you need to be very mindful about performance here. Multiplayer was challenging, but we're managing pretty well. And working with limited resources is hard. So we have ESP32S3. There is just 400 kilobytes of RAM, actual RAM. We have 8 megabytes of PS RAM, which is slower, but we provide it to application if it really needs it. But working with that resources, it required us to think, okay, how we draw stuff on the screen. Okay, can we avoid allocations here and there? It's all about saving every small resource of it. And being myself a Python developer for 10 years, I didn't get used to think about these things. But yeah, conclusions. WASM is great. I didn't talk much about Rust, but I have love-hate relations with it. I cannot imagine myself writing this all complex system in something like C, with manual deallocations and all that stuff. It would be crazy. But every day when I write something in Rust, I fight with borrow checker, and I have no idea how to make it work. But hey, now it works. And yeah, embedded is pain. And so we have booth downstairs, we have website, this year we will have Kickstarter, we have all socials, and I'm very happy to talk to all of you about WebAssembly. So you can ask questions now, and you can just come to me and ask more questions later. Thank you. Let's run 2 minutes of questions.
I can imagine how you do rendering on the ESP32, especially because we talked about this before, but how you do rendering on the computer?
Rendering.
Yeah, like are you using SDL or something?
So the question, how we render? There is library for WebAssembly called Embedded Graphics. It's great. It's designed to save memory for you. And there are a few tricks we do. First of all, the actual game, it can use on the same screen at the same time only 16 bytes of RAM. So each pixel is 4 bytes. 16 colors, sorry. It can use only 16 colors. Each pixel is 4 bytes. And the screen itself has the same size as Game Boy Advance. So it's very pixely. So the whole frame buffer that we store is 32 kilobytes.
So it's 16 color or 16 bits?
16 colors and 4 bits, yes. But the game, there are tricks. Game can change it between different screens. Game can change it as we render line by line. And then what we also do is when we render it on this, we have very cool screen. We have 16 wires bus in there. This is why we have 2 ESP32s. We just ran out of pins on the first one. And all these 16 bits, they read from DMA, the image that we want to render, and then it renders it. Yes, it's parallel 16-bit I-88 stuff, you know. More questions? Yes?
Can you say something more about how you do the synchronization of user input when you do multiplayer?
Yes, so how synchronization of input works.